Blog Talk Radio.
Coalition of Women of Color Blog Talk Radio Show. We are airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia, and today is August the 12th, and we have had an extraordinary week. One of the things that the topic for today is NCWCC offers subsidized jobs to recipients, including transitional jobs, which combine real work with supportive services and skills development activities, women of color and green jobs. And we're very excited today to let our listeners know and our members and our strategic partners a little bit update about something that the Building U Foundation is doing, and we're going to talk about that a little later in the show. I want to welcome our callers from 706.
Hello.
Caller from 706, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Caller from 615, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody's been talking about the sustainability level that Barack Obama has been echoing through the country. One of the things that we are doing as a coalition, we've gathered enough information to be a little bit more more perceived about sustainability of sustainable economic system. And what this is what this country has lost is the jobs in which folks are staying that cannot be sent overseas to India or China. Well, guess what, folks? We've actually brought those individuals over here, and the jobs that we typically have, which are not transportable overseas, we don't have sustainable economic systems. That means the jobs that are in our community in construction are not being worked by people in our community. We have schools that are being built in the Georgia area by contractors who are bringing people called labor managers, and those labor managers bring in illegal workers at schools throughout especially the Atlanta metro area. And they misclassify the workers. So therefore, by misclassifying the worker, those individuals do not pay any tax, and then they leave our community. And the people that's in the community that are homeowners who have to pay those taxes have that burden. But if you were one of the people who participated in the project and you had a job that maybe last, schools usually last anywhere between 3 to 7, 8 months. And that's pretty good money for anybody that can just leave their house and walk 2 blocks or 10 blocks to catch a bus. And so the point of it is that the green jobs for women of color are for women who live, drink and breathe in a community that they cannot participate. And one of the things that we understand is that there should be a sustainable capital investment in our community. And that really means that if we are using our tax dollars to build food, there's a situation that's going on in Adams Park where a school is being built by a company that has a company that works at the level of a federal level and has been indicted for tax evasion and tax fraud. Well, these are the type of people that are in our community building our schools. And they're bringing in folks from other parts of the community where our young folks, our youth, who are, is actually the support level of our economy, of our future, are not being properly trained. They're not getting the support that we need. Our situation as a coalition, as a person myself, the situation that I'm talking about are from communities allowing people in government to do anything they want to do, and no one questions it. There's a situation that's going on all around the country with the stimulus package. The same people, still, they just kind of changed their look, and they're still getting the same amount of work. So what I'm proposing to talk about today, with that being said, is our youth callers have been pretty much etched out of the construction industry. Do you have a thought process when it comes to how we could develop a way to eliminate this type of approach in bringing the jobs, leaving the jobs in the community and having our youth become the support level and our women of color being the support level of these particular jobs? Caller from 706.
Well, the only thing, way I think that we can do this is by starting in the high schools, the trade schools, that we can somehow get in touch with the overseer of those schools to get young people who are not interested in going to college so they can train to get those jobs and they'll have a skill the rest of their lives if we can do that.
And so you're saying that the students themselves or kids in the community can approach people like, for instance, the school board,
yes,
and state that they want to be a part of the sustainable workforce and learn a trade, learn something that they could continue to work and possibly learn a trade and make money and live in the community that they live in. And so, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think that's something that we need to engage. Caller from 615, you got any comments about that?
I'm sorry. I'm saying all this stuff, and I had you on mute. So I apologize. I'll start all over. Yes, I do agree. I agree that that the children in schools today is not how I grew up. When I grew up, the school that I went to, we had something called shops and trades, and also we had college preparatory. In our school, we were we had a choice of whether or not we were going to take any one of those shops. It could have been auto mechanics. It could have been, it was a lot of things, home economics, they called it at that time. But what we did was we decided what we wanted to do with our lives, and we took made our choice accordingly at that time. My choice was to prepare for college, which is It gave me a lot of skills and helped me, you know, with math, different advanced level math. But they also had classes like, and you could take them as electives too. They had classes like auto mechanics where you could learn how to change a tire, but there were some people who were in that just for the shop. They didn't take college preparatory classes. But they came out of high school learning about these different trades. There was electrical class, you know, I mean, an electrical shop. There was wood shop, carpentry shop. There were so many things that, you know, these people, these children could actually come out knowing how to work on a job as soon as they left. They didn't have to pay for it. This was part of the school. This was part of high school. I think that needs to come back.
You know what? I think that the leverage of understanding that it does start in the school, and it does, I think our education, what you're saying, our education system has to be revamped, pretty much.
Right.
Well, to revamp it to the point where when a child finishes high school, he knows what he wants. He or she wants to do it in life. Some children, as I said before, do not want to go to college. So, therefore, they are interested in a trade, perhaps, that can that they can do the rest of their lives, which is, you know, the different trades, they make good money. So that's the only thing I was saying, and that would be a good ideal.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. To add a little bit of a twist to it, I went to a boarding school, and so this school was on the level where it needed to prepare us for life after boarding school. And some of the children that left the boarding school were on their own. We went to a boarding school that either you were socially orphaned, which means your parents were divorced, legally separated, or you were really orphaned and you either had no parents or you had maybe one parent who was alive and taking care of you, and you were disadvantaged. And so that school actually paid for everything for us. You know, they paid for us to eat, to sleep, to also clothes that we wore on our backs, which helped my mother out because she was a single woman. She worked, but she was having hard times at the time. And also in the school system in Philadelphia, we were we had a lot of strikes going on. So that school had it in its repertoire, and it made sure that when we left there, we had prepared for life. Now, in a way, because back then, you know, I wasn't totally prepared to get out of a boarding school and go to college. I wish I had had a trade. And some of my fellow students, they went into business shop, quote unquote, you know, and they got all of the typing and accounting classes so that they could come right out of high school and become a bookkeeper if they wanted to, or do some type of business. I wish I had done that back then, but I didn't. I prepared for college. However, I think that, you know, it's just really indicative that the schools look into this. I know it's not, you know, the norm, but in the meantime, there, you know, the organizations that are available now, which I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that. You mentioned the Build a Youth Foundation. There's some organizations out there that are looking at these types of things for our youth. They are so needed, in my opinion.
And quite frankly, not to put down the school system and the methodologies that it's been passed down, but we know that especially in Georgia, they do a very poor job in educating and becoming a resource for alternative secondary schools in the past. Everyone wants to get back into construction because that's the first wave of, they feel this out there, but with the technology in which has been brought out, it appears to me, based on, I guess, your experience, we're seeing a trend of young people who are being released out of all sorts of various programs and not having any life skills or in skills and social life skills when it comes to being able to even interview properly, how to fill out an application properly, even to how to present themselves. And I think the foundation is doing something, running a program, a training program, an exploratory program, I believe, out of the UBC in Atlanta, at Local 225. And I think that that one experience, it showed me that there is something lacking in our school systems and in the home, that we're releasing these kids out here that cannot even read or write and know how to present themselves. Even on a job site, people think it's easy to just walk up and tell the superintendent, I want a job. Well, the construction industry has changed completely. It is 100% different than our mama's kitchen when we started out. We're looking at kids who cannot even approach companies that and speak articulately enough to state that I like to apply for a job as a laborer. I think that's something that we want to explore a little bit more, but I do want to let everybody know that Mr. Coleman and has been up here in Atlanta for the last several days and is one of the program managers, project managers at that particular site. And we're also talking to, we want to thank Ms. Bradley Coleman, to coming aboard as the, I forgot the word, interim executive director for the Building Foundation. So we want to thank her and welcome her to the show. It's been
thank
quite
you.
Interesting, I'm sure, for you these last few days.
Oh, yeah.
We want to thank you for jumping in the fire and see what you
You're well.
Yeah, It's been a learning experience. There's been a lot of techniques that's been used at the hall. And what I'm going to do is take about a 30-second break and play a little song called Anywhere, and we'll play Destiny Muhammad.
And calling, and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders. I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. My faith, I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Destiny Muhammad with Grace. We started to talk about the program that Stan ran out of the Brotherhood of Carpenters in Atlanta, and we want to really thank them, and we want to thank the Colemans for participating, and wanted everybody to just kind of get an idea of what's taking place over there, and I want to also thank Chris Morrison, who is an excellent trainer, teacher, all of the above. The kids love him. And Mark Brown and Mr. Gibbs that are over there, who are really reaching back and looking looking out for the community, the youth. And this is a very extraordinary time for a very small amount of students and stuff. And I wanted Ms. Coleman to kind of go into what's taking place there. And we'll probably get Mr. Coleman on the line, too. So out of the last few days that you've been out there, could you tell us a little about some of the progress and some of the things that you guys have been doing?
Well, yeah, one of the things that I see when I came in as interim director, executive director, I just started, but I'm very, very impressed with the program so far, and especially the training over there at the Carpenters Union with these youth. A lot of times, like we were talking about, our schools are not really preparing our children for the work world, and it takes places like this training facility to actually give the children, give the young adults, which is what they are, they're between 18 and 21, give the young adults a good foundation for establishing a trade, something that they can actually sink their teeth in when they're finished, that technical school, that technical training, they actually can go to work and make money. This is applied knowledge. And so what they are doing over there is really, really important. Now, with the youth that we have over there, they're not quite ready to be trained in a technical position and actually be put on the work site yet. However, what we're doing is making inroads because, like I said, our schools are not really preparing our children for a lot of things. And all the children are on different levels. But there's some of them who are having trouble reading and some of them are having trouble writing. And so you need to take the time and find out where their skill level is and help them to understand that even when they are filling out a resume, that these things need to be critiqued. They also need to be correctly spelled. They need to have correct English. And so we're taking the time over there to help build them and build their self-esteem in learning how to write their resumes and learning how to actually apply the knowledge of things as simple as times table, how that helps on the job site and in everyday life. And so it's amazing the progress that has occurred because the trainer there, the instructor, Chris Morrison, he has actually taken the children and helped them to remember their times tables and helped them to see how it is that they will actually use this in real life, because sometimes we get the math problems, but we don't know why we need to use those fractions and why we need to know our multiplication and things as simple as filling out a check and establishing a budget.
But the thing that when you say that, the association between the math is, he showed them that the relationship to reading the tape measure, you need to know your inch and a half, and if you write down it's an inch and a half, 24 and a half inches, then there's another 24 and a half inches. That person, that carpenter, has to add those two together and know what that sum is. So when you're talking about that, I think I just want everybody to know that this is not just construction. This is applied math that applies to, is applicable to understanding learning how to square a roof up, how to recognize a 9-12 pitch. And what Chris has been doing is, from what I'm gathering because of some experience I've had as a journeyman myself, is showing them how the two relate to each other on the job and inside the classroom. Because, like, as a person that did a little carpentry in the day, I've not squared up something, but it took math to be able to teach me that. And so I think you're saying pretty much the same thing, but I just want our listeners to know that, yeah, the resume, the math, all of that's applicable, ladies and gentlemen, to the carpenters as well. So I just
That's okay. But we've made so much in just a couple of days. These children have come, or the young adults have come so far. We did a mock interview, whereas we didn't tell them anything, what was expected. We took them through the interview, and we were hard on them so that they, and we also filmed them. My husband is a videographer, and this is part of our multimedia program too, to help them to see themselves and understand how they are coming across in their language, in their body language, you know, slumping and, you know, different things like that. And so the children got to actually see themselves on the video. Without us telling them absolutely one thing that they're supposed to do, and then we critiqued them and we gave them all of that in writing, so they were able to take that overnight, process it, and we told them they needed to be prepared, dressed and prepared. We didn't tell them what to wear, but we told them they need to dress for an interview, and they came back today and they definitely improved from yesterday. And we're going to do it again, and they're going to improve again. But the progress and the level that these children are sponges, they want to learn. They are not out there just wanting to play around anymore. They understand that life is short, even though they're just 21, between 18 and 21, that life is really short. These children have been through a lot in their lives, and so we've taken them and helped them to understand we are not giving you something that you need to just sit on, that you have to act, and they are so ready. It's so amazing. And I just think there's more and more children out there who are waiting and willing and want this.
Yeah, we want to thank the United Methodist Children's Home in helping us get those kids involved in this program. We want to thank the support level that they've given us, and surely we're hoping that based on some of the ways that we were able to measure their progress within 72 hours, I feel that they're going to be very happy with the results of how this has been life-changing for the youth. And I know for a fact that there's some individual things that we're doing that a very special young man that's been working with Mr. Coleman, he is the union itself, and Mr. Mario and all of us look to him as being one of the stronger leaders in his community. And we're doing a lot to try to support that level. But I'm going to probably pull Mr. Media over here for a second and kind of discuss with our listeners at the progress, because we don't have a few minutes left in the show. So maybe we can get him to kind of let us know exactly the measure that we've got.
Hello, how are you doing, everyone? My name is Mario Coleman, a.k.a. Mr. Multimedia. And my association with this program is the multimedia part, but also it probably moves a little bit deeper than that, because I guess through a lot of these young men and these young kids, I see myself, you know, at one point or other, kind of like dropping out. I didn't even have to, but just kind of like being out there wandering around aimlessly without any direction. And this program is about individuals, like we talked about the gentleman, Chris. We've all kind of like went astray, and we found our way back. So we can understand these kids' dilemma, And it is kind of, we talked about it today, a little heartbreaking that with all this information that they have at their fingertips, they don't even know how to utilize it in order to be able to effectively make their lives better. So this is where we come in, you know, because I feel, and the gentlemen and the people that we're working with feel that it's really time to stop talking and start making it happen. So what we've been able to do, God has blessed us with the knowledge, the talent, and the ability to be able to communicate with these young kids, these young adults, and show them and give them direction. Like she said, there was a tremendous amount of progress that was being, that's been made in the last couple of days because, for one, these kids want to make progress, and for two, we have the ability and the facility to be able to bring them in, these young adults, and be able to really make a difference. Now, the young man that we were talking about is an individual who has some degree of talent, some degree of direction and discipline, and he probably does. He has more than he even realizes. So, and this is a situation where there's so many young adults out there that I'm pretty sure everybody can relate to somebody that they've met that had a lot of potential. You could just see what their future could be if they were guided right, and somehow or another they just fell through the cracks. So this is a situation that we're really trying to avoid. If we can, and, you know, there's a lot of young men, like I said, young men and women out there that are like that. So we have an opportunity to make a difference, and that's what I'm all about. Anybody who knows me will tell you that, you know, I believe in making it happen. So this has been a great opportunity for us as an organization to reach back into the community and do something. And I would advise people to, you know, I think, like I said, the time for talking about it is over. It's about action now. This is what it is. You know, we got to get out here and start touching these children's hearts and these lives and make a difference because these children represent our future. You know what I mean? And we have a legacy that we have to pass on to them so they can continue representing our race or our culture, be whatever race it happens to be. So I guess that's my spiel on it. But we have, like I said, this has been an amazing 3 days, believe it or not, and just to see the progress, like they were saying, of these kids who want to get out here, want to be successful, but they don't even know how to sit in a chair properly for an interview, to be able to show them that, give them a guideline, give them some challenges, and they come back the next day and show progress immediately. A lot of these young individuals didn't even know how to write a resume. They went down, they worked on their computers, and got it done, you know. So I think that what we're doing and what everybody out there who has an organization has the opportunity to do is get out there and try to make a difference. Like I said, it's not about talking anymore. We don't have the time for talking is over. Sitting around waiting is not an option. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We got to really get out here and make a difference. And the sad thing, and I'm just going to touch on this, is there's going to be people that supposedly are supposed to be with us trying to make a difference, somehow or another they're going to try to get in our way and undermine, you know, what we're trying to do, but we just cannot let that sidetrack us on what our mission is. So, you know, with my skills and abilities, I'm doing whatever I can to lend them to whoever has an objective and an organized program so we can come in, because nothing, I'm telling you, for these kids to be able to see themselves, we can tell them, well, you did this wrong in the interview, you did that wrong in the interview, but when they can actually see it, it makes all the difference in the world. So, anyway, I don't want to go into a long-winded thing. They have to reel me in, but it's really about us making a difference. Not, like I said, we can talk about it, but if we're talking about it, let's be talking about strategies to implement action, not just sitting around, oh, so-and-so, and our kids need to be doing this. If you ain't doing nothing to help our kids, then, you know, you're part of the problem, too. So let's get on it. All right.
We want to thank the Brotherhood of Carpenters. And that really means a lot to us as women in the coalition to have our young brothers stepping up the game and being men to these young men and being real mentors to them. And I think what you heard was a little bit of a man's passion to help as many young men as possible. And so it becomes stagnant when one person or two people to stand in the way of progress. Because if you're not teaching your kids 22nd century ways of surviving out here, it doesn't make any difference in the world. You can love them all you want to, you only can protect them for so long. And we want to let everybody know that the United Brotherhood of Carpenters community sustainable involvement is a very, very new program. It's a sustainable economic system that works collaboratively with reaching out in all the NPUs and in the different counties. And this particular program was specifically set up for DeKalb County youth. And we have the support of one of the largest trades organization in the world. It's very well funded. It is a registered Department of Labor apprenticeship program. It is an accredited school for veterans as well. It is reaching out to the youth of Atlanta, Metro Atlanta. The Colemans came in, ladies and gentlemen, in at 3 o'clock on Monday morning and was at class with these young people at by 7:30. And their passion is something that is there, but as well as their passion, our new executive director was, and probably still is, was the executive director of Creative Arts of Tennessee. Mr. Coleman's background is with some of the programs that he has ran was with Vanderbilt College, Bethlehem School, and the Creative Arts of Tennessee and the Bethlehem Center. So, you know, we want to thank Mr. James Campbell, who is a young brother that really has stepped up and has got in the place of being has stepped in as a mentor to some of the young men and young women in the program. And it is the UBC, I can speak strongly for them. They are helping us change the face of contracting. Those old methods that we had that existed in the past, because we're in the South, those walls have came down. And you cannot imagine when you have people who do not really understand totally the vision of a person, but they have the passion to want to change. And they're putting their money and their experience. They actually payroll this entire event. And not just payrolled it, but they also have put their staff to be in place one-on-one with these young people and have some mentoring going on. And we possibly have a young man going into the apprenticeship and possibly a young lady coming out the program. But we want to thank the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, and we want to thank the Colemans, Mr. and Mrs. Coleman, for coming in diligently, standing in, I call it the fire. And we definitely want to thank Nadine Levy from Upbuild Design. She came in. And the kids designed in a 3D new technology that's been out for the last couple of years. She is an architect. Her company is Upbuild Design. It is in Decatur, Georgia. And Ms. Levy was able to talk to the kids. They did a short assignment, 10 minutes, and they came up with a 10 by 10. She explained everything to them. She explained that those were 2 by 2 squares, and if you add that up, you would get 10 by 10. And these kids actually designed conceptually, as she's listened, a 10 by 10, two-story building that had a sliding jacuzzi in the floor, and the roof slid back, and the bed came out of the wall. This is their thoughts. And they sat around this building information model and technology, and Ms. Coleman actually saw it transpire out there in a matter of we only have 5 hours with them, so a matter of what, an hour, Ms. Bradley? I mean, Ms. Coleman? Okay.
I'm sorry, I was on mute again. It was 1 hour, yes.
Okay, so in 1 hour you all were able to take the applied science, the applied math, and all the technology and actually conceivably build out a house, right? I know a
mm-hmm.
building.
100 square feet. 10 by 10.
And the kids actually, because I sat in on that session, they actually was able to, that's their house. That's something that they're designed, and hopefully they'll be one of the folks who are going to be building that on a site, hopefully in Atlanta. It's going to be like a guardhouse, basically, a two-story guardhouse. But they also
found out that they problem solved in the process, because when she put a man in there, this size of the man, and she asked him what size was the man, an average man, he didn't fit all the way at the top of the building, because the building was only it could only be 12 feet high. And so then that's why the roof rolled back, so that this tall man could actually be upstairs when he's not sleeping and work, as long as it was nice outside.
and I think they had a studio for the multimedia. That was the next client for the studios. And then they put in the toilet and the bathroom and the kitchen. And I thought it was very interesting. I wish we could say the names of the students, but I know that we want to.
Yeah, we won't do that, right. But
yeah,
the other thing that we want to say is that they're a very diverse audience. You know, they're Latino, Hispanic, Black, white. We'd love to have some Orientals there too, but you know, we all are needing this service. We're all of our children are needing the service that's provided. So,
we had somebody from the young man that all these kids. Let me let everybody know. All these kids have pulled themselves from so many diverse situations of just different levels of adversity, and have made a difference in their lives. And I thought it was really tickled because we had an incident where the boys left the girls the other day, and the girl caught up with the boys. and they were very determined. We got a young lady. We have an African-American young lady. We have a Latino Spanish woman, young lady, and then we have a Spanish male. And then we have a white male, and then we have a Black male. And all of these young people inspire to do more than what they came into understanding once they saw the vision. So we really want to thank, again, the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, Chris Morrison, for pulling out a no hands, no bar teaching methodology that a lot of people will be able to understand down the road. This program is a national program, so some places that we take this to and different entities that we bring this into, we want to let everybody know that the Brotherhood is all over the country. So this is not just a one-time affair that we're going to do. Our next is going to be a pre-apprenticeship, and then we're going to be touching the lives of veterans and then ex-offenders. So we'll be having two more exploratory classes out at the union. And again, we want to thank Larry Williams, who is the executive chair, for the opportunity. And we want to thank the pension fund for donating the facility and paying for the instructors. And the show's about to end, ladies and gentlemen, and I want everybody to know that we are not going anywhere. We are here to stay. We ask people to visit our website at ncwcc.org. We are proud partners of Women in Construction. And we want to thank Turner Construction for being with us on last week, and hopefully everybody will tune in. And Ms. Coleman, Mr. Coleman, we want to thank you all as well. And Ms. Levy with Upbuild Design. And you guys have a website that they can contact you at, Ms. Coleman, for your other business?
Well, I want to give the Build a Use Foundation, if anyone wants to find out more about that. We have an 800 number. It's 1-888-886-1007, and my extension is 175. So please contact us. We want to hear from you. We want more children. We want to involve the community. And, of course, we need your solicitations, so please contact us.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Everybody have a good evening.